This first reading, it has a name in Judaism. It comes from a word we heard three times. Hear, O Israel. Hear. Hear. It says three times the word hear. Not speak, not pray, but hear. In other words, let this get in, not just go in one ear and out the other. And the word in Hebrew is Shema, which is the great, they call that the great Shema, which is to hear. Actually, I learned that from Father Conrad when I was in school. So I normally don't bandy Hebrew words around, but that's a really a good one. And this to hear, I thought about this week. I used to go to the, when I was first in the seminary, they every year they give us a field ed assignment. I know Deacon James has had them, and some were more interesting than others. I went to the Towers. I think it was my first year there. We're supposed to give communion. I should have asked for something else because I used to do that in lay life, so I'm very familiar with that sort of ministry. But anyway, we had to do a lot of interesting things there, lead the Station of the Cross and things. And one lady I visited was 102. She was really interesting. She, get her name, but she, I think her name was Florence. She had retired in 1958 from the school system here in the area, after 30 years of teaching, and then spent the next 30 years drawing a retirement check than she did working. In 1958, she went traveling for 10 years all over Europe by herself as a single lady. I said, there was a lady with a lot of pluck. And boy, if she was as sharp as a tack, oh my goodness. The other lady I remember, there were several of them that really impressed me very deeply. This lady was 105, couldn't hear a thing, just as deaf as a brick, and she enjoyed seeing the young future priest. She thought I was a priest. She'd say, "Hello, Father," and they'd say, "How are you?" And she'd say, "The weather's fine." It's like, it was funny at first, but after about five visits, it got a little old. You know, I was like, "What do you say when the person?" If I asked the nurses there, she was in the full care unit. I said, "So how do I get through to her?" They just said, "You know, just smile, and she'll tell you the same story over and over again. Just be patient." I said, "Well, patience is my middle name." I've been here too long. I see that I am known. Well, anyway. I thought, what can I do? And I recommend this to you if you ever in this situation. She had a good sense of humor. When nobody was in the room, I said, "I'm going to try something. Is this okay? I'm going to speak to you." I got a piece of cardboard. Actually, it was much bigger. I put this right up to her ear. I thought, I don't know what made me do this. And I said, "Hello." And she goes, "Hello." She heard this, you know, and I said, "How are you?" She said, "Fine, how are you?" We had a great conversation. And then I said to her, "Do you know any other stories? I've heard that one already." So that was the whole point of that, is I didn't want to hear that story again. Oh my gosh. I remember when I was fine, you know. Anyway, I say this because I think that God sometimes, this is useful for spouses that can't hear also. "Would you please clean the garage?" You know, but you know, I hear God, sometimes he uses one of these with me. It's like, how many times do I have to tell you what's important in life? And I say to God, "Oh, that old story, you must love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, we hear this every Sunday, old Lord." He says, "Well, how come you're not practicing it?" Because we don't recognize our opportunities to do this when God offers it to us. And so if we find God shouting at us, maybe we're not listening. I found that, this is off the subject a little bit, I found that the hurricane, you know, it was an awful thing, and I followed it because it was a spiritual journey for me. I said, we weren't listening, you know. So, somebody from Netherlands came to New York 10 years ago and was appalled that they didn't have any system in place for just this sort of thing. And now they're thinking, there's no money, but they're on board with what they've got to do to prevent this. And I think our Lord sometimes, He uses every means possible to keep us on track in life so we don't get off. It's so easy to lose sight of what matters. You know, I as you know, I had a death in the family this last month, and whenever you and I are in this situation, it really does reorient us, doesn't it? You don't want it, but when it happens, what really is important is how you treated this person that passed away and who's left and what's my life about, and am I really paying attention to what matters, my family and friends and faith and health, you know, having enough money to get by. But these are the things, a lot of things drop off at that moment and aren't important anymore. So the Lord puts up these two pillars, love of God and love of neighbor. And they're both important and they're different. We love God directly when we pray and when I come to church, but the church also has that, it also has that reaching out component. We're all here together. But it's also direct love of God. When I tithe, I have a direct love of God or I do something charitable, but also it reaches out to my neighbor. And when I come out of prayer, then I see if I really love God, because I can't see him. I can be fooled into thinking I love God. And being faithful to prayer is one way. But also, how I treat the people around me is a really good indication of where I'm at in the spiritual life. This is exactly why our Lord puts these two together. Last night we had the children's All Saints Mass, and about 40 children, 30 or 40 children were here in their saint costumes. We had two babies dressed as Mother Teresa of Calcutta. They were so cute. I don't know if they're here today, but they won first prize for cute anyway. But last week during the retreat, I listened to a talk that I had saved about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I don't like listening to her because she's too challenging. You know, she just nails it when you hear her say something. She was a woman of few words, but they were always right there. And she said, you know, it's easier to give some money to my ministry in Calcutta to the sick and dying on the streets here than it is to love the neighbor next door who irritates me, or that family member that gets on my nerves. And I thought how true this is. You know, the neighbor that we are all called to and can't get away from, the ones at work or at church, at home, my family, and the people I run into during the day, some are easy to love and some are hard, but this is the arena in which I'm showing God if I love him. It's, you know, this week particularly, there are all kinds of opportunities to love others. We've got the coat closet, you know, and we're a little short of coats, so if you have one, it's still not too late. The person who gets it, you won't see. It's a wonderful way to give. Same thing with, like, food. We got the food going out again, and I've gotten the habit of picking up a jar of peanut butter when I go to the store, and I just drop it in. You don't know who's getting that, and it's a wonderful thing, or the interfaith hospitality, or the Thanksgiving dinner. The other way, of course, is the people in my life. And this is where we find that God, it can be the most challenging. And God allows that deliberately. There's always someone or something that challenges us. Never a week goes by in this life that something isn't like that. Same with you, I think. This last week, the other sister I have, I've got two of them, I had two of them, one is still alive. And she gave me some pictures that I copied and I sent them back up there. She found some more, so bring some more down here. So I went to the post office to return those. Nobody in line. I was looking for a homily story. I thought, I'm not going to get one here. You know, it's going to get right in line. So there's nobody in the parking lot, and I'm pulling in, and there was one car there with somebody sitting in it. And as I go to swing around to park right in front, because there was nobody there, her lights come on, and she begins to move. So I thought, okay, she's pulling out. There's nobody here. I'll wait. And so she slowly pulls out from where she was parked and zips around and parks right where I was aimed to get in. Remember, the whole parking lot's empty, right? And I don't care. It's just that, of course, naturally, I was a model of patience. Actually, I was going, love your neighbor, but hate this one. You know. Anyway, she went in, and then I followed, and of course, naturally, I'm in line right behind her. And, you know, she was just preoccupied. And we were talking. She said that she'd lost her key to her post office box, month and a half, and they still hadn't drilled into her box down there. Every day she goes to the post office and gets in line to get her mail. Can you imagine anything more painful than getting in line at the post office every day to get your mail? I'd go straight to heaven if I had to do that for 2 months. I felt so sorry for her, and I realized, of course, that this was just, you know, she was just preoccupied. But there's that opportunity to love the annoying person. It's very trivial, isn't it? But that's what our life is made up of, a lot of trivial things that add up. And if we recognize that one, when a really large one comes along, we'll handle it better. Because this is where the rubber hits the road with us, is what do I do between my prayer times is how I love God. And am I faithful to the prayer? So love of God directly, but then love of neighbor. The tithing is very important, but then how do I love people that I'm not planning on, or that I do have in my life and can't? I married into some family, you know, and of course there's somebody that came along with my spouse, and it's not pleasant. What do you do? This is an opportunity to grow in holiness. And our Lord says this is critical, because if we lose sight of these things, we go chasing after false goals and false gods, and before you know it, we're way off track as to what really matters in life. It's so good to have a couple of objective pillars. And, you know, the Jews, the end of this reading, the first reading, is cut off a little early, I think. The Lord says, teach this to your children. Speak of it at home and abroad. In other words, when you go in and out, whether you're busy or at rest, bind them as a pendant on your forehead and around your wrist. Put it on the doorpost of your house. This was the doorpost one was called a mezuzah, still is in Judaism, and these were called phylacteries. I don't forget what the forehead one is called. The phylacteries would then have long tassels on them that Jesus, he got mad at people that made them so big and showy, because they forgot that they were here to remind them to love God above all things. They needed this reminder as they go out the doorpost and come in. I wonder what we can do to remind ourselves of these two pillars. Maybe a couple of candles on the dining room table at Thanksgiving, you know. Perhaps at some point during the day, we can just ask ourselves, how am I doing? Did I love God directly when there was nobody else around? What people were opportunities today? How did I do? And, you know, it's partly to upbuild and partly to correct. And by doing this, we will keep ourselves on track throughout life with all of our enormous challenges that we all face each day. If we find that God will speak to us in our hearts on these wavelengths most of all, and if we're not listening, God will perhaps shout. He might even use one of these and say, hello, are you listening in there? And if we... God will watch over us always, and hopefully he won't have to shout.